I just want to make two points, really. And one is that when I hear the stories of sisters who's trying to commute from Lao to Plautikus every day, and she spends about four and a half hours for her life on the bus just to Charimakan, you know, it just breaks my heart. I mean, I could really cry over that. I mean, think about her frustration, what she has to endure every day, and everybody in Penang who has to suffer through that. It makes me so angry to think about people who really rely on the bus system to earn their living. And believe me, if they didn't have to take the bus, they wouldn't be taking the bus. I mean, anyone who could possibly get out of it, who can afford to get out of it, who can buy a motor, who could buy a car, who can get a friend, who could carpool, anyone has done that by now, because it's so unbearable. So that the only people left on the system are the people who are most desperate at this point. So what you have in the larger picture is an abandonment of the public system to private means. So anyone who could avoid it will have avoided it. So by the time they actually get the system functioning, and that's a big if, at that point the ridership will be so low, it's no wonder that it isn't self-sustaining or profitable. Because most people will have abandoned the system by the time they get themselves organized. So, for me, the big question is, one, whether the system that's in place, which seems to be a privatization of the system, if that's really viable at all anymore. Meaning it's not really going to be profitable to run the bus system the way it is. They applied for money from the fuel subsidies in order to buy a lot more buses because these private operators, these three private operators, who are these people? How did they get into this position of responsibility when they clearly aren't capable of carrying out their responsibilities? So who are these people who run, you know, Hin, Transit, Link, and Milan? And how can they be held accountable? The fact is that Dr. Tang has said that if any of these operators aren't doing a decent job, that they will have their licenses revoked. Okay, if they revoke the licenses of one of those operators, who's going to come forward to take their place? So really, Dr. Tang has no leverage over these companies because he doesn't have any alternative, does he? I mean, I might be misunderstanding this. There might be all kinds of people who want to get into the private bus company business who are waiting in the wings. But it doesn't seem rational. Like, who wants to be an operator? How can we make a profit, given that the ridership is so far down compared to what it used to be 5 years ago? So what recourse do we have? Like, who can we appeal to if we are dissatisfied? Because who's in charge here? Is it the bus operators? Is it the licensing board? Is it MPPP? Is it JPJ? Dr. Ko Tsukun is decidedly absent from this whole thing. She's not even making any statements except, I'll be patient. You know, it's as if he doesn't care. And it's like, who cares about the situation of the private citizen? And maybe somebody could speak, A, to a little bit about the history, about how we got ourselves in this mess. Why was it privatized in the first place? If there is money to buy new buses, who's getting it? Like, are we giving these three jokers who are running the system, are we giving them the millions of ringgit and fuel subsidies so that they can buy new buses for themselves? Does the government buy the bus? Does the government own the bus? Why is it that it's for the people, it's not owned by the government? And why can't they take it back? So I don't really understand the system. Is it private, not private? Are they leasing buses? There's obviously something rotten at the core, because there are not going to be enough buses to run buses every 20 minutes. There's no way. And what incentive do these companies have to buy more buses when they're going to have to buy them? First, can we leave this room tonight with some sort of action plan? I don't know if that was on the agenda, but I very much would like to do something. I've written letters to the star that are not publishing them. What action do you take?
I think maybe now is the right time for us to have our demand. It's I divide it as two sections. One is the we need an immediate demand. And the second one is our long-term expectation of demand. Okay, for now, what is our immediate demand? What is your suggestion? That can work immediately. What should be done immediately? Maybe just now, from the ground, you have an opinion that we need to discipline the driver, to discipline down that this is our immediate demand. What else should be done immediately? Any suggestion?
Maybe I give a bit of briefing.
Okay, everybody, I'm out. I think the response to the jury just now, I think maybe more than her would want to have some information about how the buses are run. Maybe Ahmad can add it afterwards. I just try to give a really brief thing about it. Actually, the buses have been given to a few operators until about 10 years ago. So there are some buses which have been running the buses for many years. They run on the basis of having low profit in the sense that they subsidize social routes. They mean the routes that go to like Balai Pulau or Bandar Aceh. You hardly hear about this destination, but there are people who say that the bus company don't make much from that. But in exchange, they get very busy roads, on the trunk road, so-called, you know, like the major artery routes, they go to Aitam, go to Banbaru, and go to Tanjung Bunga. So these are the routes where they make money. So that has been running until about 10 years ago when the minibus was thrown in. I think most people will say that it's because of political reasons. The bus, extra bus license was given to the minibus operator so that they will, in time to come, take over the stage bus. So that is a very unfortunate thing, and there was not much resistance from the state government or even the people at that time. They thought they have a new minibus. You know, they actually, I remember when the minibus came in, they actually painted it all the new. So a lot of people think for half year or 1 year, they think the bus was running very good, and for very long distance, you only pay 80 cents, not even running it. So there was some advantage to the minibus. As some of the old ladies here also testified, they actually find it easier to go out and so on. So, but the combination of factors caused people to accept them in the system. But then after, into the second and third year, then all the bad things in Kuala Lumpur, you know, non-maintenance and all that come in. And then I think there are a lot of people who try to look into, how to improve the situation. Then, according to the state government, they blame the Commercial Vehicle Licensing Board. Which give out the licenses. So the major grounds on them is basically that this licensing board, by law, actually supposed to monitor the buses, but somehow they never monitor them. They allow the bus to deteriorate, and also they allow the bus system to be changed from one where the boss runs the company and you can hold the boss accountable. Then, slowly, actually, they changed into a system, what you call the pajak system. That means they ran out the buses to the drivers themselves, individual drivers, and they are allowed to go anywhere, anytime they like. So, obviously, a lot of things will happen, and they did happen. Previously, Yellow Bus, they run until 12 midnight, until 1, because I used to stay in Balai Pulau, I know, even the 12 midnight. There's one bus that leaves Pulau. So by the time they reach Balai Pulau, it's about 1 midnight. And they still do that years in and years out. And the minibus take away a lot of their businesses, so finally they close shop. You know, for about 1 year or so, Balai Pulau have no bus services. So they are, this is kind of like a very, immediate cause of the problem with the minibus. But there are also people who look a little bit wider, actually, to look at some of the wider context to this issue. A lot of people are saying that actually because the government, the national, federal government, want to promote the car industry. So that's why they allow the civil servants, the CVLD, the Commercial Vehicle Licensing Board, to relax on the rules on the minibus. I think there are a lot of truth to it in the sense that the CVLD at most is just a bad civil servant, but actually by design and by order, they are actually acting under the ministers. If the ministers don't allow them to act this way, actually they will never do it. They can never do it. So they are acting out the wishes of the politicians. But for various reasons, not so many people point the finger at the ministers. Maybe they are scared of them or whatever, I'm not sure if Ahmad wants to add anything to it. But basically, so these are the two schools of thought, you know. Some people want to hammer the CVLD, and some people think, look, if you want to promote your car and you don't mind traffic congestion, this is what we get. You know, you have to address the political context. I think some of the points raised out about the government is somehow, actually there's some truth to it. So now actually maybe I will just give you some of the things what NGO are doing so that you know from here, I really hope that you go away from here with some hope. I think maybe Ahmad will add something. He's a member of CEPAT. CEPAT is an NGO coalition on public transport. So Penang Watch, PhD and Swaram, there are some 25 organizations under CEPAT. It's a loose organization, but somehow I think it does allow some of the positive policy of public transport to be documented, forwarded to the government. And in fact, I think one of the members, Seth, has been liaising with the government for donkey years. And I think recently, because they see that they are not going anywhere, that's why they initiated CEPAT, and a lot of NGOs also jump onto that platform. And that's why we have this organization. And I don't know what are the achievements we get, but yesterday we actually have a meeting, a suddenly arranged meeting with Dr. Ting. And basically he has to bang the table in order to defend his policy because a lot of people are asking all kinds of questions that you are asking now. So basically he gives us a rundown on the policy as you read in the newspaper. And so not much newer, and some of the issue we raised with them is we wanted passengers to be represented, people who take buses regularly to be represented in the committee, because actually the committee is very small. Other than Dr. Singh, there are probably two traffic engineers for the council, and there's no more other people. I don't even know who else are in this committee. So we pressed for representation in the committee, but he refused. He can only say that every 1 or 2 weeks he meet us and answer the question. So that's as far as we go with him. And then he also say that hopefully in 2 or 3 months time, you have to imagine the timetable, then they will try to bring in 50 new buses to progressively change over the old buses. So I mean it's a matter of faith, you know, whether the buses will come in. There's nothing black and white to say that the buses will definitely come in, who's going to get it, how it's going to be managed, and so on. Because we are not represented in the committee. There's a little bit of background to this meeting. The reason why we call this meeting on top of, you know, all the CEPAT and also the other kind of whatever groups that work on private transport is we try to give emphasis to users. The public transport users should be the one who should give the biggest pressure on the state government to improve the buses. Because most of the CEPAT members are also non-bus users. They are using cars or some other thing, right? So, very few commuters in the group. So, what we hope to do from Penang Watch side is basically we hope that the users can get organized, become a bus users group. And then we can have meeting and directly talk to Dr. Ting and press our concern. Because as you can see, like they were users before. And they have very practical concern. They don't really care whether it's minibus, stage bus. They're looking at how well they can get on the bus, how much they pay, all these basic issues. So actually we need people who are the users, you know, like her also, to tell us. And other than trying to form a group, so I hope that those people who want to form a group, leave your name with us afterwards, then we can have meeting to talk about what we can do. Actually, there are a lot more can be done. So most of the time, the reason why bus users are ignored is because you're not organized. Nobody wants to talk to people on a disorganized basis. And other than this one, we also have been trying to do monitoring. Actually, a lot of the problems are there, but actually you say the bus is bad, this and that. I really appreciate what Freddy was doing. He's giving the bus numbers, and giving the time, and so on. So we need this kind of information. You know, what bus, where, what time, commit, this is safe. We need that kind of information. If you don't have this information, you will say the bus lousy lah. Dr. Peng said, oh, the weather even more lousy lah. You know, so then the whole thing just doesn't go anywhere. So you need something that is with a real bus number, time and place. So we are doing that kind of monitoring. We interview people at the bus stop. We also, I think Cepat also is trying to kickstart their monitoring, which was kind of delayed a little bit. So that is going to happen, I think, sometime next week. So I hope that the bus users group, you're already on the bus. You don't have to go out to monitor the bus. What you have to do is, if you see anything wrong, tell us. That is as good as you can do. So you don't even have to be like attending a lot of meetings in order to do that. So I hope that gives some kind of context to the pastors and what we can do. Okay, thanks.
I think detail already saying what we are going to say now. Maybe now what we can do is we have our AGM tonight. We come out with our immediate demand from the commuters' point of view. What is the thing that should be done immediately from our own point of view? I think first thing is to discipline the drivers or conductors. What else? Immediate.
My name is Ahmad. As I said earlier on, I'm practically involved in trying to get the public transport in Penang and putting equal to anything else in the world, but so far without success. We have several meetings with Tim Hong Nam, and I have to agree with you, this gentleman here. I think that the most important first thing we can do is to change attitudes. And you know, we had a meeting with Tim Hong Nam yesterday, it was called Harami, and I came away from that meeting in total despair, really. I mean, we had a chap called Joachim, isn't it? Joachim, who had documented, as we have tonight, a whole list of incidences where he was overcharged, he was kicked up in the bus didn't move, the whole lot of incidences. And all doctors, they said, oh, let me know, I'll keep them, I will go and talk to the company, and in 3 months' time, we will kick them out. But there was no sense of indignation, there was no sense that, yeah, I can do this immediately. So I think whatever demands you make, that I would suggest that one essential demand is that the CVLB, that's a commercial vehicle licensing board, must immediately act to discipline the drivers. The driver who asked that gentleman to leave the bus, and be prosecuted in court and thrown into jail. Not only that, but you taken to court and thrown into jail. And the driver who overcharged should similarly be taken to court and charged with fraud and thrown into jail. That's the only way we can move forward. The way Dr. Ting is going about it is not going to work. Not in 1,000 years. Believe me. Thank you.
Start a court case. What is your demand? What else? actually we are not only asked to the bus driver to change their attitude. We as Penang guys, we as Penang people, and we love Penang, right? We have to ask all our government politicians to change their attitude, to take care of us as a Penang guy, because they are the manager to manage the whole Penang for us, on behalf of us. You see, if their attitude is wrong, how about the others? The bus driver, the FPBG workers, how their attitude will be if our leader's attitude is wrong? This is why I want to add. Thank you.
Okay. There's a Chinese saying, if the head is rotten, the tail is also rotten. So, we change the government everywhere. Nowhere else in the world is it so bad. I've been to a few countries, and you call it Penang the Pearl of the Orient? It's the pearl of rubbish, the pearl of corruption. The whole country is like that.
Okay then.
But I think what we concern is what can be done immediately.
And we can't change government immediately, right? We need to wait for
election.
We can propose.
Hello. I think in order to be really practical about it, what we can do is that anybody who wants to join the bus user group, we have been talking about it for a long time, can you put your name here? You can come forward, put your name here, then this evening we set up a bus user group. And that is the most concrete way to address the issue on a long-term basis. Because a lot of other groups who are not bus users, we are doing out of our kind-heartedness. So that is not going to last. But the bus user, every day you have to do. You have to commute, you have to use the bus regularly. You have a long-term interest to improve the bus. So I call upon those people who want to join the bus user group to put your name and your contact here. Then we can have a future meeting to plan our action. And I think the immediate activity from the bus user group is basically, every day you have any negative experience, just tell us and we will document them. And because you do it every day, I'm sure you have a lot. You can collect a lot more information than other group. Okay. So, anybody would like to bring your, you would like to come forward to join the bus user group, or you can be also supportive. I mean, we welcome people who are supportive also.
I'm not a bus user, but I can be part of you. Where to make a complaint, Mr. Ong?
Join the competition.
Mr. Ong, when to complain if I have any complaint?
Well, I suppose you can use phone to call me, or you can use email to send to me. Can I have a show of hand how many people want to join the user group so that more or less we know how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, okay, so we have 7, 8, about 10 people, so our group should be okay. I think it's a very good fun. Actually, today we are not getting so many people. Today we are not getting so many people to come. Not exactly because not enough interest. In fact, after the paper report on the Penang Voice, there's non-stop phone calls coming in. But a lot of people are not able to come today, also because they are victim of the bus system. They are saying if they come at 8 o'clock, by 9 o'clock, a lot of the buses would have stopped. So how are they going to go back? In fact, that's why the two old ladies went back, because we have to organize some transport for them to go back. Actually, we have more transport. A lot of people from Relau, from Batumau, who put in the complaint would have joined us, but they cannot join because how can they go back? We also cannot organize so many transport. So I hope that those people who want to join, please put your name here. Maybe what we can do as a show of our commitment, we can take a photo. Today, tonight actually, we have a bus user group. We have been talking about our user group in Japan for, I think, since the beginning, but we never get to form it because in Japan, most of the people don't take bus. So tonight, I think we get, let's say, we have 10 number of people. We should form the group. I think it's a historical moment that the bus user group is formed in Penang, where the bus is so rotten. So if we don't form it, actually we kind of have some part to condone the rotten system. Okay?
Thank you everybody for attending the public hearing. Please support our bus user groups. Thank you everybody.
No, those people want to join, can you come over for a photo?
Come for AGM.
Those people who want to join the bus
user group, can you come over and then we take a photo here? Because I think if we can finish the meeting with a group form, I think definitely we are doing a very good job. It's a very productive meeting this evening. Okay.